Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Michelle Chappell. Michelle has a PhD from Princeton, is an internationally acclaimed musician, businesswoman, and keynote speaker who inspires us to be more creative in work, school, and life. After being voted most inspirational professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz, Michelle ditched academics to follow her childhood dream to be a singer-songwriter. Since then, she's had top 10 and 20 singles overseas, a number one hit on U.S. college radio, 7 songs featured on ABC, HBO, and Showtime, and has won 17 Billboard International Songwriting Awards. For the past 18 years, Michelle has used music in her workshops and talks to help thousands of people ages 14 to 84 find their life calling. During the show, I'll be playing an inspiring song by Michelle. The song's title is A Little Bit of Heaven, and it's from her new album, Let Your True Light Shine. To connect with Michelle online, visit her website at www.michellechappell.com. That's michellechappell.com. Hello, Michelle. Are you there?
I am here. Hi, Margot. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. I'm happy to be on your show. Thanks for asking me to talk to you today.
Oh, I'm excited to talk with you also. It's so absolutely funny because of the fact that thanks to Facebook, I feel like I know you so well, and I met you years and years and years ago at Robert Berry's recording studio, Soundtech Studios, briefly, and then I saw you down in Santa Cruz when I went down with Anna Taylor, not with Anna Taylor, but to see Anna Taylor and you perform down there, my brother and I, Dwayne and I had driven down there from Marin County just to see you guys perform, and I got to talk to you for like 2 seconds, but I really enjoyed listening to the performance, and it was a really fun night other than the fact that unfortunately Anna didn't get to perform that night, so that was a disappointment for her.
Well,
and
we got to do it again a year later, so it all worked out in the end. And actually, I think, did you?
I didn't get to go to that one. But yeah, that was an amazing night. And
oh, thank you.
I just would love to hear a little bit about your journey. So if you could kind of fill in a few of the details for our listeners about how you got a PhD and then became a singer-songwriter. I mean, there's obviously a lot of interesting stories that go with that, and we only have a little bit of time today, but if you could give us a brief outline of how that happened, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, sure. I got a PhD in cognitive psychology from Princeton, which is very serious, you know, very serious stuff. And then I started to teach at university. I was a professor of psychology. And I used to have students come to me all the time asking me for advice about what they should do with their lives. And I always told them to follow their hearts, you know, and they looked so relieved when I would do that. And then after a couple years of doing that, one day I thought, wait a minute, I'm not following my own heart, because really what I want to do deep down inside is I want to sing. But, of course, that seems like a crazy idea, right? Because, I mean, I had a PhD, I had research going, I was writing papers and publishing and getting awards for teaching, and it seemed like the wrong thing to do on the outside. But on the inside, it's absolutely, you know, it was just a whisper at first, but it just, after a while, I couldn't ignore it anymore, and I just had to do it.
It sounds like, have you ever read the little tiny booklet by Emmett Fox called Your Heart's Desire?
No, but I want to now. It's
wonderful. You know, I should probably post how to get that. A friend gave it to me when I first started Toastmasters. A friend named Christine gave me a copy of it, and it's just this little tiny booklet, but it's so incredibly powerful. And in it, he talks about how your heart's desire is something that you feel called to do, basically. And it's something that it's so important to you that it can be scary to even mention it to anyone.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Well, I have
to
tell you that when I made that decision, a lot of my colleagues, not all of them, the ones who knew me well understood, but some of them thought I was absolutely crazy. And my mother also made no, she did not hide the fact that she thought that that wasn't the smartest choice in the world. But my father was behind it. He loved it because he was a rebel. So I think I got a little bit of that too, that rebellious nature from him. So I think a lot of it too was just over the years watching my students look so relieved when I gave them permission to be their true selves. And then I kept in touch with them and their lives turned out great. So I think you have more trouble in your life when you don't follow your heart than when you do. So, you know, eventually you might get sick or you just are depressed or, you know, something feels off, you feel stuck, things don't seem to be working. And I think a lot of times it's simply because you're not following your heart.
Oh, I agree. I agree. It's funny. I led this workshop one day for a networking workshop, and they were having people do their elevator speeches about what they do or, you know, the kind of jobs they were looking for. And these people were doing all these elevator speeches about what they felt they should be doing, what would be practical as a job. And they looked like they were half dead. I couldn't even believe it. It was just, you know, and I really felt for them. And I thought, okay, I said, okay, let's do something fun here. I want you all to think back to when you were a kid and something that you dreamed of doing when you were a kid, something that you thought would be really exciting and fun. And then I want you to write up an elevator speech about that. Just make it up and tell us what you were doing and do the same thing that you do with the other one, but do it with the passion ones. At first they thought I was a little crazy, but, you know, we went around the circle afterwards, and when they read them to me, Michelle, they came to life. It was like, oh my God, some of them looked like they had lost like 10 or 20 years of age, but all of them looked all of a sudden fully alive.
Yes, I've seen that in my workshops too. I know what you're talking about. Suddenly they look like they're 8 years old or something, which is, you know, but they can. You can be 40 and look 8 because you're just radiant, because you're remembering something about yourself that just brings you so much joy. Yeah, I have a few different, like 7 different questions I ask people when I'm trying to help them connect with their true calling or purpose in life, and that's one of them. It's a good one. And it's not even necessarily when you're a young child. It could be even when you're an adolescent or young adult. You know, even in college, you know, for example, I loved to write when I was in college, but I was intimidated by one of the English lit professors who – long story, but anyway, gave me a C+ on a paper, and I thought, well, that's it. I'm not good at this, and it shut me down. And that happens to people a lot too. You know, it might be something that you love doing when you're in your 20s, and somebody tells you you're no good at it, and that's the end of that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's a journey back to that traumatic event and saying, hey, you know, that professor may not have just understood your writing style, or maybe been jealous of you. That happens sometimes too. I've seen some students shut down by people, parents or teachers, or maybe people in the workplace that are actually jealous of them.
Yeah.
You never know.
And the thing is, we never know why they do it, but sometimes if they're really definite about it, like my grandmother was that way for me. She lived in Montesereno, right between Los Gatos and Saratoga. And I remember when I was 12 years old, I went down to stay with her for a few weeks or a month. I can't remember how long it was. We were living up in Shasta County at the time. And at the time, that gave me the most joy was singing.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mom came to pick me up, I overheard my grandmother, she was my dad's mom, and she, oh my, I overheard her tell my mom that I should forget about singing.
Yep.
And she was so definite about it that I believed her.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, my God, I'm a terrible singer. I should never sing again. It took me years to sing ever at all again. You know, I was like, okay, never again. I'm never singing again.
I know. I think it's one of the main, I think actually when family does it, mm-hmm. it's the worst because it happens usually when you're pretty young or pretty early on, and plus you just think so highly of them because they're your family and you're socialized in their particular, you know, dynamics and all of that. And I think I could agree with you that I think I've seen some of my biggest breakthroughs when people go back to something that somebody in their family member said or did or...
Mm-hmm.
That held them back. Yeah, I know. It doesn't even do any good to worry about why they did it or where their motivation comes from. Just find it back in your own heart and go back.
Exactly. That's so true. I'll never know because my grandmother's been gone for a lot of years what the real reasons were. But, you know, she wanted me to be an artist. She was an artist. She liked to paint paintings, and she wanted me to follow her in her footsteps. And while I was down there for that, I don't know, a few weeks or month, I can't remember how long it was. It was quite a while. She had me painting with her in her art studio, and I did love the colors and mixing the colors, and I even liked the smell of the linseed oil and the paints, and just, you know, all of that was really cool, but I didn't really want to paint paintings. It to me, it just didn't seem that fun. It seemed too lonely. And she ended up encouraging me to be an art major in college, so I ended up getting a degree in art, but not because I wanted to, because she wanted me to. And I love looking at art. I do love looking at art, and I do like doing some artistic things, but this is, you know, another example of where somebody in your family can tell you what to do, and you follow it. And even if it's something that's creative like that, it may not be the right form of creative expression for you.
Exactly. I think we're all very different from each other. I mean, that's something I've come to realize after I've been teaching workshops for 18 years, and I am humbled by how different everybody is from each other, even twins. And, you know, like if I was to ask everybody to write a paragraph about a plant or something that was in the room, the paragraphs would all be so different from each other, too. I think one of the most important keys to living a joyous life is to really accept yourself for who you are, even if it seems like some of that is flaws or imperfections, you know, because maybe you're not fitting in with your environment or you haven't found your tribe yet. But a lot of times those things that make you seem like you don't fit in are exactly the things that make you special. That's the path you should be on. So for me to sing, I mean, that was just absolutely crazy. I went to Princeton and studied cognitive psychology and neuroscience. There was no music, nothing about music there, you know. So it was a big leap. But I mean, I think when you feel it deep inside, whispering to you over and over and over again, and it never really lets go, you know, then I think you need to trust that.
Yeah, that's so true. It's in fact, Wayne Dyer's always said that inspiration is when an idea gets a hold of you and won't let go.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah, and if there's something like that that you feel that you just can't let go, you need to let yourself at least try it. You know, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be for a career. Like, you know, for example, now I sing every day now, and I just do it because it's joyful. It's not because I plan to be a rock star at 60. I just want to do it because it's fun, it feels good, and it's just how I feel joyful.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because over the years, too, and I want to help people find their true calling or their true purpose. Well, what is that? You know, it's a lot of different things. It can be a career path. Often it's a creative outlet. I mean, I know many people, you know, like I had one attorney who felt like something was wrong. And, you know, his life seemed empty, but he was happily married, and his children were about to go to college, and he was in Monterey, so he really, you know, he had to pay some big bills, but he knew something was missing. And long story short, he discovered that what he really wanted to do was take photographs. And so he just did that in his off hours, you know, and that brought him so much joy. So that, and then I think another thing about being true to yourself or following your calling is just having the right relationships, being with people who get who you are and honor who you are and don't try to change you or make you something that you're not. So I think it's all of those things. You know, it's not just getting a career. It's how you go about your day. It's every aspect of the day. And so I think singing in the shower, you know, every day, if you want to, you know, if you love singing, it will bring you so much joy. It opens you up. And then that joy, you get to spread it around all day to other people, which is a good, you know, that's a good life purpose right there.
Yeah, just to enjoy your life. Oh, my God, that's the thing we're here for. You know, the time's flying by, and I want to make sure I have time to play your song. So I'm going to play a little bit of Heaven from Michelle's new album. The album's called Let Your True Light Shine. And here's the song, and after the song, we'll talk about it. It's about 3.5 minutes for everybody.
I am 65, looking back on my life, wishing I knew that. I would tell myself not to worry so much. Things have an odd way of working out.
Michelle Chappell from her album Let Your True Light Shine. Michelle, that song just makes me feel so good.
That's the whole purpose. I'm really glad you chose that one. I was listening to it too going, this is really lifting my vibration. that's why I wrote it. You know, there's I don't know if you know a woman named Bronnie Ware. She worked with The Dying, and she wrote a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying.
You know, I've heard of the title of the book. I didn't know her name.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book, but I've heard of the title. And
Well, the number one, and I didn't learn this until after I wrote the song, but it's funny because I think it's why I wrote the song. The number one regret of the dying is that they did not live a life true to themselves, that they did not follow their dreams. That is the number one regret. And,
wow.
You know, that's what our whole conversation has been about, you know, today, you and I. And I think that's what you and I both are trying to help people do in the world, is just to connect with your true self and to follow your heart. And so, I wrote that song to try to get people, you know, it's so scary, right? It's so scary because you have to go into the unknown. So I thought, well, why not get people super excited and let that be the motivation to move forward, you know?
That's so true, Michelle, what you just said, too, because when things are scary and exciting, if you that means you're going to grow. It's something you really want to do. I say in my book, The Art of Living Life You Love, one of the things I point out in there is that if something just seems scary, it's probably a should, or something somebody else wants you to do, something you maybe don't even want to do at all. But if it's scary and exciting, that means that it's something that you want. And it means you're going to grow, and it means that you're probably going to have fun doing it. And even just trying doing it is going to help you feel more alive.
Absolutely. And you can just take one little step at a time, too. Like that attorney I was mentioning before, you know, he could have totally shut down because he had big bills to pay. His kids were about to go into school, and he wants to take photographs. That's scary. But instead, he just would go out during lunch. For example, instead of eating lunch, he would go out during his lunch break and take some photos, and very slowly but surely did it more and more and more until the scary edge was completely gone, and it was all about excitement. So
right.
I think that's I'm sure you've seen this too. I think people stop too soon. They stop before they even start because they think it's going to be so frightening. But if they just take one step forward, and it's a tiny one, it just the momentum starts to build.
True. And the thing is that a lot of times they're using A to Z thinking also, you know, where they're thinking, oh, I have to quit my job. I have to move to L.A., say, if it was going to be acting or whatever. I have to quit my job, divorce my husband, leave my kids, and go to L.A. to become an actress or whatever, you know.
Right.
And no, you know, you can do little bits of it and still feel really alive. And a lot of times, as Julia Cameron said in her book, The Artist's Way, which I absolutely love, and I know you enjoy also.
I love that book, too, yeah.
Yeah, but she had said that a lot of times people actually get inspiration from the other work that they do. So if they quit their job and try to do whatever art it is that they're doing, whether it's writing or painting or music or whatever, full time, then it's not the same. So, and I also believe, as she said, that we're creative beings, and we're creative in a whole bunch of ways. So it's not like you have to decide, oh, I'm going to only write, or I'm only going to paint, or I'm only going to sing. We can all
do whatever.
Yeah, whatever we
and
really
you know, something
want to
else,
do.
There's a new research that just came out of San Francisco University. I can't remember the guy's name at the moment, but anyway, I thought this was pretty exciting. The research shows that they're looking at employees, and the people who have creative outlets on their off hours, their off time, are actually better at work. They're better workers. They're more productive. They're more helpful. They're more so to be, you know, a little nervous about maybe getting a creative outlet on the side. Let me tell you that don't worry about it, because, and I'm sure you know this when you sing, and I've seen this in my workshops. But if you do something that you love a little bit, it just fills you with so much energy that it doesn't wear you out. It's not like you've added something to your day, you know, and then you get up the next morning and you're really super tired. The opposite, it actually gets you excited to even go to work and do a better job at work. So you can't lose there.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, we only have about a little over 5 minutes left, so I wanted to make sure I had time to mention that next week, on Wednesday, May 14th, my guest will be Robert Berry. Can you believe it, Michelle? He's the week after you. And we're going to be talking about his passion path of development in music and living the music he hears calling him. During the show, I'll play a beautiful song that he wrote and sings and did all the music for, I'm sure, knowing him. And I'm going to keep it a surprise for now, so I'll tell you the name of the song when I send out my e-news about next week's show. And you can sign up for my mail list on my website at margotjoydenator.com, or you can follow my Blog Talk Radio show and receive updates about what shows are coming up. Oh, Michelle, this has been so great. I mean, I remember Robert telling me about you years and years ago. I've known him for 40 years now. Can you believe it? I met him while I was in college, while I was an art major, while I was selling records, which I actually enjoyed doing more, first at Warehouse Records on Winchester and then over on in Campbell over at Tower Records.
Mm-hmm. I remember, yeah.
Yeah, was Tower still there when you moved to San Jose area?
Yeah, it was. In fact, I had a CD sell there.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, so I was standing in the shadows of all these people in music because when I was signing up for my art classes, I met Gene Perrault, one of the guys in Robert's band Hush. And then it turned out that one of the guys I was working with at Warehouse Records while I was going to college, right there at the very beginning, was Paul Keller, who was also in Robert's band.
Oh, he's a sweetie.
Yeah, it was through them that I ended up meeting Robert. And I used to go, he was working in a little recording studio called Tiki Sound down in San Jose with Grady back then. Yeah, and I used to go and have lunch with them and would watch as they recorded everything. In the way that they used to then, it's so different now when they went to the recording sessions.
The two-inch tapes.
Yeah. And then, but going down there to the studio now is so much fun. When we started, it was in toward the end of 2003, I think in November, that we went down and we recorded the first, or he recorded the first song for Deadly, Lost in Space, Found in Time, which is an amazing song. And it was so funny because Robert kept saying, oh, you know what, there's plenty of people that can record it up in Marin County. It's too far for you to drive all the way down here to Campbell to come to Soundtech Studios. And we're going, yeah, but we really want you to do it, Robert. And so we came down and went down and did the recording, listened to the song on the way back over and over and over again. I'm sure you've had that experience after working with him also. Where you can't stop listening to the song. Yeah.
So, well, he was always really supportive of he knew I was doing something a little different because it took me a while to figure it out. That I was trying to write songs that went along with the, you know, what I was teaching in my workshops. It took me forever to figure out that I was doing the same thing in music and in my workshops. But I think he saw it earlier on and was always really supportive of me, you know, writing the types of songs that I did, even though they're not necessarily the types that you hear on the radio. And I am so happy, by the way, to say that that is changing. I'm hearing
more and
more positive songs on the radio all the time, so thank goodness the world is catching up.
Yes, thank goodness. It's totally true. We only have a minute and 40 seconds left. Can you believe it?
Wow.
This time has just gone by so quickly. Now, people can connect with you online at your website, right?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
MichelleChappell.com. And then can they sign up for an e-newsletter on the website also?
Yeah, absolutely. They can sign up. I have a blog on there as well, and they can sign up for the blog if they want to. A lot of people seem to really like it. My website just got chosen as one of 10 brilliant websites that will inspire and change your life by Lifehack. So I'm pretty excited about that. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, and they can play snippets of songs if they want to, sign up for workshops, and I do teleseminars, and I coach. So there's all kinds of things they can do.
And you're also on Facebook, and you post a lot of wonderful things on Facebook. So I think that link's probably on your website also, right?
It is.
Oh, good. Well, it has been a total pleasure. It's been really fun, and I'm so happy that you were on my show today, Michelle.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me, Margot.
You're welcome. And I want to have everyone out there think about this. What music do you hear calling you? Are you living the music you hear calling you? Live your music, everyone. You'll love your life, and you'll have more fun. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.